Good morning. This is The Coffee Table. I'm KBBI News Director Daisha Eaton. Today's topic is the city's outlook for 2016, fiscal and otherwise. And joining us now is Mayor Beth Wythe and City Manager Katie Kester. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. And you got my name right. I'm impressed.
Oh, I've been working at it. Thanks. So let's review. The city had a budget deficit close to $1 million for the 2016 budget. The city put forth Proposition 1 in a special election in the beginning of December, asking the public for permission to divert funds from the HART Fund, the Homer Accelerated Roads and Trails Fund, and they got it. And that makes up most of the shortfall for this year's budget. But there's a lot more work to do, and there are some long-term solutions that have to be found. So what does this budget look like now, at least for 2016?
Sure. Well, the 2016 budget is a very lean budget. The city and the council really felt like we had to meet voters halfway by asking them for the sales tax diversion of HART. And so there were $725,000 in cuts from a status quo budget, which equated to 6.5 positions and a whole lot of penny pinching in every single area. So what you're going to see moving forward is a very lean, mean city of Homer, which means efficiency, response times, and effectiveness may suffer because we're cut very close to the bone. That being said, we really tried to keep the services intact, because the voters said we value what the city does, and we're willing to vote yes for Prop 1 to be able to continue those services. So definitely it's going to be tight times, and please have patience and understanding with us as we move forward in 2016.
Yeah, and I just would add to that, while we didn't cut any programs, but services will look different. And I think people may have seen that even as early as our one or two snowfalls that we've had. We are down a person in the Public Works Department, which changes the nature of how snow removal will look and will work for some people. And I think there were a lot of people that may have been frustrated with the snow removal that took place the couple of occasions. And so again, I'm with Katie, just ask people, understand that things are going to be different. You may have to move more of the berm out of your own driveway than you're accustomed to doing, but that's kind of the price of going down a person in that department.
So snow removal is one area where the city is already feeling these reductions. Are there some other areas that people might expect to see impact as well?
I think other areas that I would recognize, the administrative assistant out of Katie's office has been reduced. And so that's going to be impacting the services coming out of her office, because that person helps her with her responsiveness and coordination. But that also, for people working with the council and the committees, those type of service reductions will impact them as well. So everybody's going to feel something. You know, it's hard to, at this point early in this game, to identify all of the things. These are just a couple of things right away up front that become very apparent.
The snow removal sounds very visible. It sounds like some of the other reductions might be felt just within the infrastructure of the city, within the inner workings of the city.
Right, and with people that use those services. And I don't know everybody that uses those services, but I know that the commission's committees and council do.
And to add to that, you know, the administrative support and all the people that just kind of make things happen behind the scenes, and that's what I think is going to be primarily compromised. But another area that we've seen a cut actually since this summer is our code enforcement officer in the planning department. So you're going to see less code enforcement just by virtue of not having enough bodies in that office. So there's definitely broad effects that will be felt throughout the city.
All right. And so this HART Fund diversion, it only lasts 3 years. That was to buy the city some time to figure out another solution for the budget deficit and the, you know, outlook for the next few years, is that this is just going to continue with the state's finances. So what's the plan for the long term? How far are we into that, and what are we looking at?
The council will become really focused on the financial aspect. for me, how that looks is we're going to continue these outreach programs to the community. We're going to ask the community to remain and become more involved in this conversation. And this was something that during the processes this fall, I had made this statement that the financial situation of the city is not a problem of the six council members and the mayor sitting at the table. It is a problem of the residents in the community. The council can only provide services to the extent that the community is willing to provide funding. So it's really important for the community to be engaged in the conversation. We will be moving forward with those meetings, and I have talked to Katie about that briefly, but like every other month, trying to have something where we're getting the community involved in the conversation. We're going to be looking immediately. We're going to have to start thinking of a long-term plan, identifying, I think we have 12 areas that we identified potential revenue, but many of them, the majority of them, require either voter participation or a borough to take an action. So we're going to have to be engaged with those parties and make sure they understand. And then as the borough, because they're in the same financial or similar financial position, as they move forward, we need to be really attuned to what they're proposing, because the last thing that we want to do is get to a ballot any October, this October, any October, that has, you know, an excessive number of options on there for revenue, be it the borough's revenue or the city's revenue, because that's destined for everybody to fail. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a real collaborative working relationship is going to have to be developed and maintained between all of the parties moving forward. And as I said when we started this thing, this isn't a near term, this is like a 3 to 5 year solution seeking. And what we need to be focused on is opportunities that result in increasing revenues for a number of years.
Thanks, Mayor Wythe. I'm Daisha Eaton, and you're listening to The Coffee Table. We're talking about the outlook for the city of Homer this year in 2016. And this is a call-in show, and we would love to hear from you. And speaking of getting the community involved in the conversation, you can get involved right now if you'd like to. Go ahead and call us at KBBI. The local station number is 235-7721. You could also call toll-free. That's 1-800-979-5224. Give us a call if you have a question for Mayor Wythe or the city manager, Katie Kester. So you mentioned that there were 12, I think you said 12 areas where the city is considering revenue. Do you want to talk about that, Katie?
Do you have that list?
That's a lot.
Well, through the public meeting process, we really broke it down into things that needed voter approval, things that needed the borough to take action and or voter approval, and things that the council could do on their own. And there's really not much that the council can do unilaterally. You can raise property taxes, and then there's some fines and fees, which we looked at closely in the 2016 budget to make sure that those were all kind of tuned up. But there's not a whole lot that the council can do without the borough, without the voters and the borough. So the next category that was looked at is things that require the borough to be involved. We don't, as a first-class city, we don't have the power, for example, to institute bed tax. Excise taxes are another thing that the borough would have to be involved in. Do we tax internet sales to the full capacity that we can? Internet sale taxation is very limited by the federal government, but there are, you know, ways working with the borough to look at that. So that's something that I hope to be looking at with the borough. Raising the sales tax cap, that's something that the borough is looking at, and of course would have an impact on the city. And these things that the borough is looking at, you know, if enacted borough-wide, have a much more balanced impact on the entire peninsula versus pitting one city against each other. And I think that's really an important part. And then there are revenue-generating measures that require voter approval, and that includes any sales tax increase. And when we look at sales tax, I think that the community has asked us to look at a variety of those, not just bringing it up a percentage, but let's say seasonal sales tax to capture more revenue when we have more visitors. Look at the tax on food, balancing, you know, taxing food, not taxing food year-round versus an increase overall in sales tax. So there's a lot of ways that you can also play with how that sales tax is implemented that, you know, has a different effect on the community and the economy here.
I think separate from taxation issues too, an aspect of future revenues and continuing growing revenues that the city needs to really refocus on is economic development, because therein lies the, you know, the real economic balance for the community is finding ways to bring additional new revenue in that is not a tax to the community. And so that'll be, those are things, you know, that we've talked about. We have an economic development commission trying to work with them and get them to bring forward some recommendations that have some good revenue positions for the community. Looking at other areas that the community is interested in seeing services grow, the public safety building has really brought to the forefront the HERC building. And to me, it's less about the building than it is about the need for some type of recreational facilities. And so we may need to look at that in a different manner and say, is that an economic opportunity waiting to happen? Is there a way to bring that into an economic development function that would be beneficial to the community as a whole? So we're going to have to dig deep and look for new things. We have to quit looking. It's not unlike the state has to quit looking at petroleum revenues as their only source of income. We need to start looking at something other than taxation as revenue spurring.
So it sounds like diversifying the economy of Homer is a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward. You mentioned that the HERC building mm-hmm. as being a possible source of revenue. Maybe I'm misunderstanding
right.
you.
No, the HERC building as it exists today mm-hmm. essentially is a condemned building. Mm-hmm. Its only authorized function is up to 35 people at a time in the gymnasium, period. The rest of the facility does not have a fire marshal authorization to be used in any capacity right now. What I'm talking about is that we need something to replace that facility. We need to find a way to do that, you know, kind of creatively, financially, feasibly. It has to be able to pay for itself after it's built, those types of things. Because the HERC building right now, as it sits, doesn't pay for itself for the use that's being provided.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a user-based facility. Community schools should be a user-based fee facility. It is not. Certainly it is a heavily subsidized facility right now.
So that would take a significant investment, though, from the city of Homer to build a new facility like that. Is that seems pretty risky at a time like this.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, though, I think I see things maybe from a different perspective, because to me we can't look at this moment in time. We have to say, where do we want to be in 10, 15, 20 years, and what do we have to do today to be there in 10, 20, 15 years? And sometimes you have to take a little bit of a risk to get to that place. And so, I mean, it's not, you know, we took a little bit of a risk with going out and doing the bonding for the harbor. And it turned into a huge benefit to us that we took the initiative to make that happen. And I don't feel like funds, while state funds may not be there, federal funds may not be there, I don't believe that there are no dollars in the world to contribute to community development projects. And I feel like we need to be assertive about what we need and how we're going to find out how to do that, instead of being concerned. To me, fear is the enemy here, not the economy, not any of those other things. Fear is the enemy, because we're afraid to step out confidently, and so we do nothing. And then when you do nothing, inevitably you shrink back further and further. And we just aren't in a place where we can do that if we want to be doing something different in 5, 10, 15 years.
So is there potential for grant funding for something like that? Or
we have not really even begun delving into it. At this point, Katie and I have talked to each other. That's the sum total of the conversation. I have been doing a little research on options for providing such a facility. And to me, the initial facility has only two functional needs. One is replacing the gymnasium. The second is providing a temporary location for the, what's Mike's?
Building maintenance.
The building maintenance, which is in the other small building of the HERC facility, finding a place for them to be in the temporary. And so that's kind of, I've been looking at what options, low-cost options might look like for that. But it's not something that we really have delved into too deeply yet.
So it sounds like you're saying, instead of retracting right now or contracting right now, we need to be thinking creatively about how we can expand a little bit and
exactly.
capture some different kinds of revenue for the community.
Exactly.
So people have stated at previous meetings that they'd like the city to have some really clear benchmarks, at least a method of holding the city accountable to a timeline during this process over this 3 years of figuring out, you know, how the city moves forward with less funding from the state and federal government. So what's the plan there?
Well, I think under the mayor's initiative, she's really pushing the city council and the staff to do some long-term planning and look at the situation holistically. So we will be working with the borough. The borough is reviewing their tax code, and they're going to start a public outreach in the spring on that. And the city needs to be in sync with that, both for our public and how the city of Homer is going to comment on the borough's actions, and to keep the people of Homer involved in the long-term conversation. So I foresee some planning processes in those first few public meetings happening this spring to start looking at what that looks like, what the goals are, how we'll reach out to people in non-traditional manners. One thing that was really successful in the town hall outreach was some surveying online, because not everybody has time during the evening. Maybe looking at having meetings different times of the day for different groups. You know, I have small children at home, so evening meetings are difficult for me, and I'm sure there's other people like that out there. So I think that these first few public meetings will be doing just that, looking at some long-term goals and long-term planning.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I would actually encourage the community, because this needs strongly to be a resident-influenced and contributing function. And the council is not the only location. I mean, coming to the council meeting is not the only way to reach the council. They can send messages, email messages to the clerk. You go on the city's website, you can send a message to her. She pushes those out to the council. And I can honestly say the city council as it exists today is really, really diligent about reviewing the input that community provides. And people need to understand reviewing the input and agreeing with what you say are two very different things, because the council has a different perspective that they're required to look at. So they may agree with something that you bring forward as an individual, but have to look at it and go, well, that makes really good sense for you or your neighborhood or this small group of people. It doesn't make really good sense for the community of Homer as a whole. And our job is the community of Homer as a whole, trying to balance all of those different concerns and initiatives in there.
So it sounds like you really want this to be a community-led effort.
Success lies in the community being involved in this. Because as I said, the council is six people and a mayor, and they represent all of the community. But if the community is not in contact with them, it makes it really difficult to make sure they're hitting the mark.
And like you said, yes, coming to city council meetings, great opportunity for public testimony, but you can write an email.
Exactly. And it's still public testimony. It goes into the package, and the council gets it. The community gets to see it. It's not, you know, in a hole or anything.
And can people call? I mean, are you available if people call? Or
I personally am available more by appointment, because I still work full time. And so I do have a phone at the council or at the city hall and an office there. But if they call the clerk's office, then they will usually contact me and set up an appointment time. And that has usually worked out well for us.
And email and phone numbers for council members are on the website. So hopefully the public feels like they have access to council, because really they're your friends and neighbors.
Right. Yeah, and we're there at your request. And so we're there to help you.
All right, you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm here, Daisha Eaton, with Mayor Beth Wythe and City Manager Katie Kester. And we're talking about the outlook for the city of Homer in 2016. We're looking at the fiscal outlook specifically, and we'll talk about some other things that are going on with the city later on in the program. This is a call-in show, and you're welcome to go ahead and call us here at KBBI. If you have some questions, you can ask a question directly to the mayor and the city manager. And the station number is 235-7721. You can also call toll-free 1-800-979-5224. So you've kind of given a broad overview that you're looking at some revenue generation possibilities for the city of Homer. You're also looking at taxes, which is a word that a lot of people kind of shudder at. What are the most feasible options in those realms? Obviously, you want the community to help you figure this out. You're going to be weighing lots of different options, talking with the borough. But there have to be some options that rise to the top as logical here.
I think that the bad tax word, and I don't know that it's the logical choice. It often feels like the easy choice. It's easy to say we need to increase tax, increase revenues through taxes. And in the short term, that is the absolute best easy option, is to do that. The city has done a phenomenal job in the last probably 10, 12 years. They have done a phenomenal job at reducing and refining services. And now we're on the other side of that. We're actually reducing services because we're losing people that are key to providing those services. And so one thing that people need to keep in mind, just as the cost of operating and managing your household continues to go up, there are costs that the city has no control over. And so even if they did nothing, if they control every single cost they have control over, the cost of doing business goes up every year. And if we do nothing, we still have to increase revenue because we have to at least meet the cost of keeping the lights on, of keeping the heat on, of, you know, paying the gas bill, whatever. So those are increasing, escalating costs every year if you do nothing with staffing. The downside is if you do nothing with staffing, you can't certainly provide any additional services. And under current scenario, we're struggling to provide the services that we have. And so what that looks like is we can't have any more parks because we don't have staff to maintain the parks that we have. We can't have any additional services through community schools because we can't afford the systems that we already have. We can't afford to build or pave or change any road surface structures because we can't afford to maintain those that we already have. So just to stay, to cover maintenance and stay where we are, revenues have to go up every single year. So we need to focus on revenue options that have a natural escalation feature to them. And traditionally, property tax is one of those. 12 years ago, we reduced property tax by a half mil or 1 mil in exchange for a 1% sales tax increase. And it wasn't really an exchange because council controls property tax and residents control sales tax. But that was kind of the way it was achieved. We have never gone from that 4.5 mil property tax. But property values escalate, so the revenue from that generally goes up. But right now, property values are even starting to kind of trickle down a little bit. So some of that revenue will potentially be falling off. So you just have to pay attention to those, to what the impacts, the real impacts of those revenues are. And from the community perspective, the citizens need to be engaged in understanding that. And we need to work with them to develop a better trust relationship where, because natural response to government in the United States is they're lying to us and they could cut more and they, you know. And so how do you balance that? Because now you have these people that have voted for you and want you to, provide direction to the community you live in. But on the other hand, they don't want to trust you that you're not going to lie to them about how you're using that money. So part of that, that's part of the community outreach programs that we're doing. And they put in place an online accounting tool so that people can really dig deep into kind of the expenditures and see what's in there. So we can become more and more transparent, but it's incumbent on the citizenry, if they have trust issues with who's serving them, that they come in, they make sure we understand that so we can address those issues. Because in building that trust relationship, then we have the ability to work with them for them. Because it really, at the end of the day, there is nobody employed at the City of Homer or working on the City Council that benefits more than a resident in the community from the services provided by the City of Homer. And so we have no, there's no point in us trying to pull the wool over your eyes. We need you to understand what's happening and why it's happening. And if you feel we're overstaffed in a certain area, come talk to us about it and figure out why we're staffed that way. Or if you feel like we're spending too much money on something, come talk to us about it and find out why it costs that much. Don't just presume the worst at all times. Take the opportunity to help build that trust relationship so that your council can serve you and your city's employees can serve you the best possible.
Sounds like property tax is a good candidate here in this situation for raising some funds.
It might be the absolute easiest easy choice because council controls it and it hasn't been looked at in 12 years. I don't mean that we're going to look at it. I don't want people going, oh my gosh, they're going to raise property tax. Anything that we do is going to have to be really closely keyed to what's going on at the borough, what's going on at the state, so that we are, I can honestly and fairly say, I think that the tax burden or the individual cost burden for citizens in Homer and citizens in the state of Alaska is going to go up. I can safely say that, I think. I'm just not going to say property taxes are going to be the way that we're going to arrive there. We want this to be an interactive process, not a council making a mandate.
Sounds like they're under consideration, though, with all the other options.
Everything's on the table.
So we're going to go to Pat on line one.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to taxes in general, but Homer already has a very high sales tax, and in terms of property taxes, what we pay to the hospital seems high already. So looking at expenditure cuts, I wonder about the police, because for the size of Homer and the amount of crime here, it seems like maybe the police department is bigger than it needs to be.
Well, I will take that. You're correct that the police department is the largest department in the city's budget, but I would be very hesitant to say that they are overstaffed. Our officers have a higher caseload than any other officers on the peninsula. We also, through this budget cut cycle, reduced a position at the jail and dispatch, which has really, it does have an impact on the safety of prisoners and the safety and the ability for, you know, there always to be someone, two people hopefully there answering phones when you call 911. So I really feel like the police department does a great job at their community policing model, and that means that they're really collaborative, working with the community and not a kind of a heavy-handed police department. And maybe that's why there's a great perception of them in the community. So I certainly appreciate Pat's perception that way, because her feeling that there's not a lot of crime in Homer means that they're doing a good job. So that that's really great. There is a lot, the kind of underbelly of Homer that the police department sees and deals with on a daily basis. Heroin is a very big issue in our community. So that would probably be the first place, if we were able to add positions back into the budget, that I would look to add positions back into the budget. So this is an excellent opportunity to, again, like the mayor said, have that conversation. So I really appreciate the call.
And Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there have been three or perhaps even four gun incidents involving guns in the past few months. And I know there was just an armed robbery down the street from KBBI a couple of weeks ago. I did talk to the police department about that, and they said, yeah, we are seeing a lot more crime with guns involved. And there were, I think, three home invasions and then the armed robbery. Is that right?
You're correct, and it's really really disturbing, and unfortunately a lot of it is related to drugs in the community. So
right, they're breaking into places trying to get things they can turn over quickly. So and the heroin issue is huge. I was at the borough assembly meeting last night. I went up to Soldotna, and they had a presentation on heroin, and they've been really seriously looking at what they can do to deal with the heroin issue and trying to take it out of the police departments and out of, you know, punishment, and trying to get some therapeutic solutions, because the problem's just so bad. And the small communities out here can't rely on just putting people in jail, and that costs everybody more money. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like law enforcement is not an area you want to cut. If anything, you're probably going to want to bolster that.
And I would encourage people, if they have a feeling that we're overstaffed in the police department, watching the police blotter in the newspaper is not a good measure of the volume of incidents they're responding to. The city does publish on a monthly or quarterly basis, I can't remember, but really regularly, a statistical review, and it tells you how many incidents that they have had and the nature and type of those incidents. And I know as a council person, and I've lived in Homer for over 40 years and am well understanding the drug and alcohol issues that are pervasive in this community even since the 70s. But it was surprising to me, even the volume of actual events that the police had to report to. And so when you look at one of those events and they have to report and respond to that, then they have to go back to the office and spend several hours completing the documentation required and the paperwork required for that nature of event. So I think that's a better judge if you want to understand really what our police department and even the fire department does a similar report. If you want to understand better what their functions are and how full they are, I think that's a better way to look at it than what's reported out in the newspaper.
Quick question, how many police officers are there in this community? Do you know?
Oh, it's test time, isn't it? I believe we have 11 officers. Seven or eight dispatchers. Then we've got three full-time jail officers. You know what? I have that information because I brought my budget.
So it sounds like roughly about 20 people working
in
collaboration.
26 or something.
Okay, 26.
We have 24 and a half individuals employed in the police department. You have to remember that includes administration officers, dispatch, and jail officers.
And how does that fall when you look at the pie chart of how the money is divided up for the city? Is that, you know, somewhere in the middle, or is it the largest area of the budget, or?
Well, the police department is the largest budget, and it's a little over $3 million, and the next largest department is Public Works. But again, essential services, core services that the community has decided are important for the city of Homer, public safety, police, fire, roads, kind of the essential things that a city provides for its citizens.
Okay.
Yeah, and the police department, I don't think they're the largest employee base. I think Public Works has more employees, but the police department has more regulated training, more regulated activities that require funding. They're non-optional funding, and so that makes them a bit more of an expensive portion of the budget, but well worth the investment.
So you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm Daisha Eaton, KBBI News Director, and I'm here with Mayor Beth Wythe and City Manager Katie Kester. And we're talking about the outlook for 2016 for the city of Homer. And this is a call-in show. We want your questions, and you're welcome to call and ask them directly to your representatives here, your local government representatives. You can call us at 235-7721. You can also call toll-free at 1-800-979-5224. So I heard that, I think it was at the last meeting before the end of the new year, and the city was discussing like a possible ordinance to increase seasonal sales tax by 1%. And some people were apparently upset because the city made a plan to use those HART funds, and people thought you were kind of rushing into something, or kind of like, hey, I thought you were using the HART funds. What are you doing increasing sales tax? So can you explain that? What's going on there?
What happened was when we initiated the discussion of we need a tax increase, two things came forward, two separate ordinances came forward. One was the allocation of the HART tax, and the other was the 1% seasonal sales tax. And the reason those were the two that came forward is they were items that were on our list of 12, and they were the two that had the highest public support, both in public survey and at the public town hall meetings. And so I brought forward the HART, with the perspective of it's not an increase, so you have a better chance of getting that passed quickly. And Dave Lewis brought forward the 1% because it was it's actually an increase of revenue as opposed to a transfer of revenue. And so it was all on the same agenda, and we postponed the 1% until the December meeting in the event that the HART tax transfer didn't pass. So we didn't lose three, because it takes like three meetings to get an ordinance passed. Mm-hmm. And so we wouldn't lose the opportunity of turning right around if we needed to and asking for this additional revenue. That item has been pushed out until June, mm-hmm. so that we don't lose the work that's been done on it off the table. But we will have it in advance until we figure out what's going on with the borough. Because as I said, as we move forward, we're going to have to make sure that the increases that are being proposed for ballot measure at the borough, at the state, and at the city align with each other, and we're not piling up on people and getting nothing in exchange.
So, you know, obviously Homer is not alone in this. Small communities and communities of every size all across the state of Alaska are under the same pressure, similar pressure with these funds going down from the state of Alaska and also the federal government. So what are you doing to kind of coordinate with neighboring communities or with the borough to try to make sure that Homer can stay afloat and that, like you said, you know, there aren't 10 ordinances on the ballot for everybody's, you know, separate cause in the borough or in Homer? How are you working with neighboring communities? I would assume there's going to be more collaboration and coordination.
I'm sure there's going to be more discussion, and I will kind of defer to Katie because she probably has been in contact with them through the holidays, and I have not done that.
Yeah, the borough, for example, has hired Larry Persley to examine their tax code structure, and I just spoke with him yesterday to make sure that the city was involved in those conversations, and he anticipates having some public outreach this spring and summer on kind of what the borough is looking at. And so again, I will be in close communications with him, paying a lot of attention to our neighbors. You know, the city managers on the peninsula get together. We're on a couple of boards. We have municipal league conferences that we go to. So like anything, it's about communication. I think that the city of Homer is just a one step ahead of the rest of the peninsula, in my opinion, because when the voters said don't tax food in the winter, even though there was an out through the borough ordinance for the city of Homer, the council said, no, we're going to listen to the voters and we're not taxing food. So for 4 years, the city of Homer lost around $800,000 to the budget. So those 4 years were the trimming back, 10% across the board reductions, belt tightening. And then when we were hit this year with direct cuts from the state, we had to respond immediately, and so we're, you know, Soldotna and Kenai and all the other communities are going to be facing this upcoming budget cycle. So I'd like to say we're ahead of the game.
So Homer already tightened their belt a couple of times, is what you're saying, and
right,
they're in a better spot, it sounds like.
Yeah, and the council has really taken a very judicious position of listening to the voters. That's, you know, and so when the vote to suspend food tax was passing, at the same time, the borough was pushing through a change that allowed first-class cities to decide, to make their own decision. And so when that came back, the council took very much the position of, you know, the voters thought this, I mean, the voters knew this is what they were voting for. As they were voting, what they were voting for was a suspension of sales tax, not that the out was going to come through the back door and cut them off for the city sales tax. And so we honored that. Because I think that's, and I feel like we have a council, that's their bent, is we want to honor your input. And the downside of that is sometimes people don't understand what is impacted by the reduction. Reduction of sales tax at the borough is a reduction of monies into the school system. I don't know that people always recognize those correlations or really know what the dollars are. So I think we did that. So our only thing that we had to come up with was new reductions in revenue, where other communities are going to have to come in with reduction in sales tax and new reduction in state revenue at the same time. So, and I feel like we have our reserve in a good place. So we are in a really good place to do exactly what we're doing and to give ourselves a little time to figure out a long-term plan.
And earlier you mentioned fines and fees. I know, you know, lots of communities are really looking at fines and fees as a way to increase revenue. Mm-hmm. What are some of those options here?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, fines and fees will never be a revenue generator. I mean, even if we, you know, doubled and tripled fines and fees, it wouldn't make a dent on the budget. But what's important is that they're reflective of the services being provided. So for example, our campground fees hadn't been increased in years. We took them from $14 to $18, which is commiserate with neighboring communities. Plot at the cemetery was $200, when in reality it costs a lot more to develop that, maintain that cemetery. So that was increased to $1,000. Ambulance billing hadn't been increased in years. What we bill an insurance company essentially for that service. So that was increased. So just really taking a careful look at all the little things that the city provides. I think even the cost of, you know, a fine for animal at large was increased because that hadn't been looked at in a dozen years.
Right, but all of these things, and some in particular, take enforcement, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if somebody's, you know, taking their dog down and letting it poop at the beach every single day, is there actually a fine for that? I don't know. I'm not sure. But, boy, that could be a place where Hemmer could get some revenue. So, I mean, but if somebody's out there and there is, in this scenario, a rule that you can't let your dog poop at the beach, and if you do it, you're going to get a $20 fine. You got to have somebody down there looking, right?
Exactly. Well,
that costs money.
And to be fair, those types of fines will never pay for themselves because it is always more expensive to enforce. It's more of policy that's enforcing those types of things. But when we're providing a service like a spot at a campground or a plot at the cemetery or those types of things, it's a little more of a relationship there that's conducive to that.
So things like pooping and parking kind of not so great.
Parking will never pay for the enforcement of parking. It's about policy trying to, you know, shape how we want that to look.
And things like a plot at the cemetery or an ambulance fee are a lot more likely to help.
Still subsidized services.
Mm-hmm.
Really, those are still things that are subsidized by the municipality.
Okay, we've got a call. We have Catherine on the line with a question. Hi, Catherine.
Oh, but I think you got the wrong line.
Oh, perhaps it's Malcolm. Go ahead.
Yep, Malcolm. Hi. So, yep, my name is Malcolm. I'm with the North Pacific Fisheries Association. We're an association of commercial fishermen here in town. And I just wanted to mention that as far as growing the economic base, I think we need to look at the harbor as one of our biggest assets. It's really important to keep the fees and amenities competitive there so we can attract business. Commercial fishing industry is one of the biggest contributors to the local economy, and it's a place to look for growth as well as sustained activity. At the City Council meeting this coming Monday, Arnie Thompson of the Alaska Salmon Alliance will be presenting a report on the economic impact of the seafood industry in South Central Alaska, and he'll be highlighting Homer in that report. So just kind of making a little plug that people are interested, they can listen in on the radio here on KBBI or come on down to the meeting and hear that report, and I think it'll be real informative to the city in general and to the population. So I just think it's real important for the city to pay attention to regulations that affect the local fleets and make sure that area changes and stuff that maybe would draw the fleets away from Homer or that we're weighing in on those and kind of keeping an eye on those. And then also making sure the city, you know, welcomes the local fleets and make it an attractive place to continue to do business. I think it's something that we can, you know, it's our biggest asset and something we really need to stress and be aware of making it attractive here. So thank you.
Great. And thank you, Malcolm, for pointing that out. I think that's a really important economic issue. The port and harbor for the city of Homer, other than ancillary sales tax, doesn't affect the general fund because port and harbor is an enterprise. So their revenues basically support them. But we have done a lot of work on the port and harbor the last few years. We have continuing work going on. One of the initiatives the council has on the capital improvement in the large scale long term is to do an expansion of the harbor, which will allow us to have a larger fleet, basically parking lot. We would be able to provide better services and larger area for large vessels, and we recognize how much they contribute to the community and how valuable that is. And we do keep pretty good touch with all of the different divisions to make sure we know what's going on with the fisheries. And we make comment publicly and through resolution when those are issues that are valuable to the city of Homer. When we go to Juneau, we talk with people there about that. So keeping the large vessels and then also keeping the Coast Guard. Keeping the Coast Guard is a really huge contributor to the port and harbor as well. And so those are our focal points for us as we move forward in the long range of the harbor.
So I think we now have Catherine on the other line. Catherine?
Yes, I am sorry I missed a lot of this program. So you may have already talked about revenue-producing things for the city, and I am wondering if I missed something, what it is, and what you see as potential revenue producers so we don't just continue to tax people.
Okay. Who wants to take that one?
Well, I think that, like the mayor said, Port and Harbor is the nexus of a lot of economic development in this community, and we've invested a lot in the Port and Harbor over the last few years, and promoting economic development there is going to continue to be a priority. Two projects that are a project that's happening this winter is uplands improvements, so making a more secure area for the deep water dock. We're going to be working really diligently on that. So I think you've got a really good crew out there, and Catherine probably agrees that is always looking for new opportunities and new ways to serve the fleet.
All right. You're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm Daisha Eaton, the news director at KBBI, and I'm here with Mayor Beth Wythe and City Manager Katie Kester, and we're talking about the outlook for the City of Homer for 2016, and this is probably your last chance to call in if you'd like to ask a question. Our station number is 235-7721, and if you'd like to call toll-free, that's 1-800-979-5224 if you have a question for the mayor and the city manager of Homer. So I know there were a few other things that you guys wanted to talk about. What's happening with the public safety building? I think people might be curious about that too.
The public safety building, actually, very timely. We have a meeting tonight at 5:30 at the upper chamber of the council office. And the process has been slowed a little bit. Part of it is revenue driven. Part of it is just kind of working through all of the details of site selection and structure planning. But the public safety building, for me, is a really high priority for this community if we would like to continue providing public safety services. In order to provide services, one of the aspects that has always been key to me is that you provide a safe and healthy working environment for your employees. And it's actually required by law. It's not really an optional thing that you do that. It's a law-required provision of being an employer. And right now, the public safety building, the police department, certainly is not a safe and healthy working environment. And services for the fire department are limited by the existing facilities. And finding a way to reach those needs and meet those needs for the long term, because I always feel like a dollar spent that can last for 50 years is better than a dollar spent as a Band-Aid that can last for another 10 years. Because if I spend it today for 10 years, next 10 years from now, I'm going to spend two to replace the one that I wasted trying to bandage something over. So building something that has a long-term value at the lowest possible cost needs to really be the focus. And the committee has done a great job, I think, of that. At this meeting tonight, we're going to discuss three options for construction that are at varying values between, I think the highest one was about $28 million and the lowest one was about $14 million. The lowest one meets the need of the police department, does very little for the fire department. And that will again be presented to the council on Monday. So people have two opportunities right now in the near future for hearing and getting an update on what's happening with the public safety building. That is a project that will be a high-cost project and will require community support and bond funding. The downside of bond funding is that the state just was downgraded yesterday in their in their bond ratings, and so that has some potential that it would cost more to get bonding. I don't know that we would have gone through the state bond fund, but all of those things influence everybody when they change. So I think time is of the essence. People remaining involved and committed to the project is really important, and the community becoming engaged is really key.
Is that a project that under the financial circumstances could possibly be put on hold, or do you make that argument that we really need to not contract, we should be expanding and investing? Is that
I would fall in that camp. Putting the police department on hold, certainly I do not see that as an option. They are in a very unhealthy and unsafe working environment right now, and we need to change that as quickly as we can. One of the discussions at the public safety building is the concept of phasing. But keep in mind, at the cost, at the rate that costs for construction are increasing, if you wait 10 years, you've likely, increased the cost half again. So it's one of those things that you can pay me now or you can pay me double later. It's not going to get less expensive, and we aren't going to have a need that is less than the need right now.
And real quick, you said an unsafe and an unhealthy environment.
Yes.
In a nutshell, for people who might not know the backstory, what are you talking about?
The police department, the way it's set up right now, the relationship and the corridors for access of prisoners to employees is not really good. The facility itself has a tendency to flood regularly. And when you live in an environment that floods regularly, you know all of the downside of what
like
comes
right
with
now.
That. Yeah. And so then you have not only your employees, but people that are in prison that are in those environments. And so it's just, if you're going to be in business, be a good employer and do it well.
All right. It seems we have a couple of callers who... Okay. Would like to ask more questions. I think we already heard from them, but maybe they have another question. That is Malcolm, I believe, on line one.
Yeah, hi. Oh, thanks for the response. I appreciate that, Mayor White, about what you guys are doing out at the harbor and stuff. And the one thing I forgot to mention after I hung up was also a thing that I think could be a real potential boon for Homer is the hatcheries across the bay that are just sort of in their just sort of getting rolling here after being closed for a while there, but there's one in Tutka Bay and one in Port Graham, and I just think the city, and as they have been, but just to keep a close eye on what's going on over there, because we're definitely the gateway to to those facilities, and the fleets would be growing here, and it just could be a real positive economic boost for the city. So we're real, I think, in everyone's best interest to see that those are viable. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Malcolm, for that. And also another thing that has been kind of floating in the background for the city is the fish tax, the fish landing tax. Right now, a lot of, the fish come across the dock in Homer, and then they're sent to Seward to get processed. And if we could figure out a way to do the preliminary processing here before they ship out, that would return well over $1 million a year of income to the city of Homer. So those are things that the council's looking at from that perspective as well.
All right. And we also have a second return caller, Catherine.
So, hey, I was thinking that we need a revenue producer, something that will actually bring money into the city. And I believe that we could collaborate in our community and have some kind of facility that the public can use and rent for conferences and for big events, an event center. How do we make that happen?
Thank you for that that suggestion, Catherine. The city has in the past discussed a conference center and financing and actually through a bed tax. That was years ago before I worked for the city, but that is, something that in the past has been on the table as something to bring new visitors and new people to Homer, because of course everybody wants to be here, and we have wonderful facilities that can accommodate 100 or 200 people, but when you get anything bigger than that, we just don't have the room. So I think creative ways, that's part of the creative solutions that need to be on the table. So I appreciate that suggestion.
Thank you.
All right. And we also have another caller we're going to try to fit in here. We have Ted. Hi, Ted.
Good morning. Hey, I appreciate the program, and I actually appreciate all the work that the council and the staff does. I know a lot of times that I'm down at the meetings, and I listen to the meetings and get frustrated with things that I don't think go the way that I personally wouldn't like to see them go. But at any rate... I guess one of the things that frustrates us a little bit is how much money we put into outside studies and services to support issues and not come to the community first before you go to the outside expense to be told what the community needs. As far as the expense of employees, I know we were self-insured for many years, and I guess I wish we could work something out with the hospital that all us taxpayers pay for to provide services, if nothing else, at a discount for city employees, and that is such a high expense for us. And one other quick comment on the fisheries. It's really, I think, important to see how much the sport fisheries, like Louis Lagoon and some of the other fisheries, how many people that brings into the community. And I would hope that when you see all those RVs and all the summer tourists that come to take advantage of those fisheries, that that would be part and parcel of what we would support also as far as the fisheries. And I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ted. And I do appreciate your comments about the external studies. A thing to always keep in mind with government is that if you want to get funding outside of the city of Homer and the residents of Homer, the likelihood is you're going to have a study that says that the money that you're asking for is going to be spent on a project that actually is going to do what you say it's going to do. And that is a downside of working with government. Certainly, there are opportunities for private development without any of those restrictions. So if somebody's interested in building a center, that would be awesome for the community of Homer. When we did this survey, and that's been now like 10 years ago, I think, it came up two things. We don't have the infrastructure services that would be required to support a lot of larger conferences, and the underlying cost of a conference facility was $350,000 less revenue than what the facility would cost to run. So the city would have to be, again, undergirding the support of such a facility. But it is something that comes up regularly. If we had a bed tax, we might be able to look at it from a different perspective. Thanks.
Well, thanks for all your calls today. We're getting ready to wrap up here on Coffee Table pretty shortly. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't talked about that you think is important?
Just like to really thank the public for being so involved through the budget process, and I really feel like we've got a committed group to move forward as we discuss long-term solutions. So in my first, I've been in this job for about 9 months, so it's really been a learning curve, but I've been so encouraged by the public and the council and just all that participation and warm fuzzy. So I guess just thank you for that and look forward to continuing it as we move into 2016.
And I agree with that. And again, just really focusing on the city of Homer is not the council and the mayor. It is the residents that live here. And absent your participation and input, you're stuck with kind of the decision of six people and a mayor.
And you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm Daisha Eaton, KBBI News Director. I've been talking with Beth Wythe, the mayor of Homer, and Katie Kester, city manager of Homer. And they've been talking about the outlook, fiscal and otherwise, for the city of Homer in 2016. And if you'd like to get involved with the city of Homer and all the ideas and plans that they have, the next city council meeting is
Monday. We are getting together after a holiday break on Monday. So please come forward and you can testify on things on the agenda, or you can wait till the end of the meeting and testify on whatever you'd like.
And that's at 6 p.m., right?
Correct.
And there's always time for public testimony at some time during the meeting, right?
Multiple times during the meeting.
So if you'd like to get involved, you can show up at the city council meeting. And let's just go over, you know, we talked about a lot of different things. People might have some feedback. Real quick, what can people do to get in touch with you to give you feedback off the air?
They always can contact the clerks. They can find the email address on the website, and they can send email. They can call city council members. Email and phone numbers are on the website as well. They can call the personal numbers, or they can leave messages at the clerk's office, and they will connect you with us. And then making the meetings. There is public comment at the beginning of the meeting on any item on the agenda. If there are items that are up for ordinance change at some point in time, they come up for at least one public comment testimony period, and often two. And then there's public comment at the end of the meeting on any topic. And you have 3 minutes to speak at any of those occurrences.
All right. Thanks for calling today. We really appreciate you participating in the Coffee Table. It's been my pleasure to talk with the mayor and the city manager of Homer. Sounds like 2016 is going to be an eventful year in politics for the city of Homer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be busy. I hope that we have opportunity to come back and visit with you and the community again.
All right. I'm Daisha Eaton. This has been Coffee Table.